It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Beneath the Frozen Sea. My name is Sky, and you, my listener, are currently under professional review. I am, of course, referring to the very interesting tidbit of Ron Francis being a little noncommittal on whether or not he was going to bring Dave Haxtell back. This happened at exit interviews, and there was an awful lot of kerfuffle brought up about this. We had a nice long discussion about what that could possibly mean over at DavyJonesLockerRoom.com. Personally, I don't think that Ron Francis was speaking out of turn here. He didn't seem tremendously bothered or concerned about Dave Haxtell going forward. Watching the exit interview back over again, he just gives the impression that there is a process that he's got to go through because they're a very process-oriented team. Ron Francis, in general, is an extremely process-oriented general manager. I would be shocked if we got an answer before that professional review that they decided that they were going to have was completed. That said, I do think you can tell there was a mild bit of frustration with just the team in general. That was an overarching theme of exit interviews. Jaden Schwartz seemed a little boondoggled by what was going on. Vince Dunn did not like the lack of intensity that the team had all year. And over again, correctly so, might I add, Ron Francis pointed it out, Dave Haxtell brought it up, Jordan Eberle brought it up very briefly, 5-on-5 scoring needed to improve. And it just didn't for whatever reason. And I think it is fair to look at the guy who is in charge of setting the lines, setting the general offensive attack options for the team. And you can look at the way that they're struggling and saying, hey, you just went through a historically bad lack of shooting. What are you going to do to prevent that from ever happening again? Because otherwise, that's going to fall on you. I think it's perfectly reasonable to ask a coach, hey, you had a top 10 defense in the NHL and you didn't end up a playoff team. What's going on there? Hi. In the middle of this, the Kraken decided to fire Dave Haxtell, so I have to get rid of just about everything I just said over the past 5 minutes. Ron Francis, within actual seconds of me recording this, announced today through a press release that the Kraken will not be bringing back Dave Haxtell and assistant coach Paul McFarland. I know that Zam over at DJLR has often preached patience when it comes to moving on from a head coach. He has been very upfront about the fact that I think a lot of the issues that plague the Kraken are things that Ron Francis did, as well as the players themselves did. But yeah, I can absolutely understand why exit interviews didn't exactly paint a rosy picture of him. I can definitely look at the 5-on-5 issues, and I can definitely see the fact that he was not able to drag them out of that funk and see that as a reason to move on. That said, we have to figure out who the next head coach is, so get ready for that. Otherwise, we're going to have to figure out who would be a good candidate for head coach and what we do from here. It looks like Ron Francis is already on the search, which gives me the impression that he's already interviewing guys. Which, cool, it's just, man, really just took the wind out of the podcast there, Ron. Thanks, dude. Otherwise, yeah, I completely understand why this happened. I don't know if I like it yet because I don't know who the replacement is yet. But I hope they come up with someone good. All the best to Dave Haxtell and his family. All the best to Paul McFarland. Let's hope that they land in another NHL job very soon. But off-seasons are funny, so we will see how they maneuver that in the coming days. But the off-season for the organization is still waiting in the wings to happen because the Firebirds at long last have their opponent for the second round of the AHL playoffs. They will be taking on the Calgary Wranglers of the titular Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It's going to be a good series. It's going to be a real tight one, too, because the Wranglers really brought it to the Firebirds last year. They went to a very tight Game 5. Ultimately, the Firebirds prevailed, but there was a difference about last year's team and this year's team. Arguably, this year's team is better, but this is one that has had a vacation for over a week now, while the Wranglers have had two major big victories over the Tucson Roadrunners in order to advance to this point. They have got a ton of momentum on their side. Last year's Firebirds, they had to scrape and claw their way into the playoffs and scrape and claw their way all the way in. They had momentum that they hard earned. This year's team, they didn't have that. And they're in a bye that has historically, and granted this is exactly 2 years old now, so maybe to take this with a little grain of salt, this bye has actually been way worse for the team who has it than it is for the team that plays them. They implemented this in 2022, and ever since that point, no team who has gotten this bye has gotten past the second round. And to just make the challenge even more impressive, Dustin Wolfe is back and he is absolutely on his horse. He's in the top three of save percentage for goaltenders in these Calder Cup playoffs. So what do? Number one, they need to get rid of the bad habit that they had through most of April where they spot the first couple goals to their opponent. That cannot continue, gentlemen. And the other big thing that they need to do is just really attack that defense for all it's worth, because the Calgary Wranglers did not have a good defense this year. They had a negative goal differential coming into the playoffs, and it's only marginally better now that they've played two games in the first round of the Calder Cup playoffs. They're still a team that struggles a lot with control of the puck. They're a team you can respect. There is some really good, promising talent on that team. Matt Coronato looks like he's going to be a real gamer for the Calgary organization, and obviously Dustin Wolfe is a goaltender you need to respect or he is going to make your night very miserable. But the Firebirds can do it. I have seen them do it. They played a triple overtime game where they showed me that they can do it. And all starts on Friday in Calgary. So show up, gentlemen. Please don't do that slow start thing. I really want to see something good from the young kids. And yeah, good luck. I've been waiting for this for 2 or 3 weeks now. I'm very excited to start watching Kraken adjacent hockey again. Let's just hope that their 5-on-5 play is a little better than that of the big club.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
But they're not the only prospects still in the playoffs. We still got a bunch of kids in junior who are looking for a lifeline. We'll start, of course, with the Furcus Circus, which is continuing on in Moose Jaw. However, they're tied 1-1 with the Saskatoon Blades in their series. Furcus is all the way up to 20 points in 11 games. Man, what a special player this kid is turning out to be. In the other series is Tyson Jugnauth taking on the Prince George Cougars. It's a tough team to play at any point this year, especially now in the playoffs. They are tied 1-1, them and the Winterhawks. Jugnauth has 10 points in 11 games. Good luck to him. Prince George is looking like a real team to beat. And the final man in juniors left out in the OHL is Ty Nelson out there with North Bay. However, they're having a little bit of trouble taking on the Oshawa Generals. They're down 2-0 in their series. It may end up with Jagger Furcus as the only guy in junior left. Still, Ty Nelson has 7 points in 10 games. He's doing pretty well for a defenseman. And as one final bit of prospect news, Nicholas Cuckoo was not able to get Lahti Pelicans over to Para, and they are now the runner-ups in Liga. He finishes the Liga playoffs with a .925 save percentage. Even if he didn't have the greatest of years, that change of scenery to Lahti really, really helped him out. And I'm really excited to see where he goes from here. Good on you, Nicholas. Great season. It's a terrible shame you couldn't go all the way, but man, you can only do so much as a goalie. As always, good luck to all remaining Kraken prospects. The only final bit of Kraken news I want to actually touch on is the draft lottery, which is set for about a week from now. The Kraken have a 6% chance of getting the first overall pick and are currently set at 8th overall. I'll probably try and create a quick reaction just to give everyone an idea of what they're looking for once the draft position is set. Other than that, we'll just have to wait. And with Kraken news done, it's time to talk about the NHL playoffs, which are starting to get very, very heated, and it looks like a lot of the Eastern Conference is in real danger of wrapping up. I've just got this open here. The first one is the Battle of Florida. Florida's up 3-1 on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay really stormed back to prove that they've got some life, but now they gotta do that 3 more times in order to actually overcome. And frankly, I just don't know how that's gonna go. That game starts at 4 p.m. PT. Let's see if Tampa can try and save themselves. The New York Rangers series against the Washington Capitals finished up on Sunday night. The series wasn't interesting. The Capitals were just bad the whole way through, and yeah, it was a sweep. I literally have nothing to say about it. Every time I watched a single game that the Rangers and Caps played, my brain just cleared itself. It was like a Zen moment where I just said, yes, this is what happened. This team is bad. The New York Rangers are going to have to play an actual playoff team next. Anyway, congrats to them on making it to the second round. After all, you're bringing Alex Winberg for the ride. You might as well go all the way. Anyway, a marginally more competitive series, the New York Islanders versus the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina has had the Islanders in a chokehold for most of the series. It's going to be going to at the least 5 games. Carolina's up 3-1, but the Islanders just won the most recent one. Could the Islanders be doing that thing again? Well, maybe. But I sincerely doubt that it's going to last all the way to Game 7. Either way, good luck to both of them. I expect Carolina to clean up here. And the final series out east is the Toronto versus Boston series, which has been predictably dramatic. Just not in the way that I thought it was going to be. It so far hasn't really been the back-and-forth struggle that everyone sort of expected. It seems like the Leafs have just sort of turned around and died on them. I mean, their power play is bad, and Boston isn't, like, great. But they just seem to be this hard counter to the Leafs, and they've got Mitch Marner on the bench throwing his gloves, and players are jaw-jacking at each other. Just seems like a bad time all around there in Toronto. But they're gonna have to figure it out on Tuesday, otherwise they're going home. And boy, that is going to be an uncomfortable exit interview. Yeah, it looks like the East is wrapping up, and so is the West. There's a bunch of series that are currently sitting at 3-1. Vancouver, Nashville, Winnipeg, Colorado, and LA, Edmonton are all sitting at potential elimination games. It's going to be a very, very interesting couple days for them. The Vancouver series has been highlighted by an absolutely unforgivable collapse by the Preds as they let Brock Besser have a hat trick, and the Canucks have their like third string goalie and they're still struggling to come up with a way to score on them. Nashville's got to figure it out if they're going to beat our neighbor to the north. LA Edmonton is just an overwhelming firepower just overtaking a team that is, in my opinion, still trying to build something. Like last game, they sat on a 1-0 lead for nearly the entire game. Like, Stuart Skinner is generally not that kind of goalie. It is insane that the LA Kings couldn't get one by him. But they're gonna have to figure it out, because otherwise they're going home. And finally, my favorite series, just for pure entertainment value, has been Colorado-Winnipeg, because there's just so much that's going on. To their horror, both sides have realized that they don't have any goaltending. So it has largely been a goal fest back and forth. It has been way more noticeable for the Winnipeg Jets, though, because the Avs have been sort of playing with this issue all year, and I think they're at the very least used to it, and Rick Bowness doesn't seem to have an answer for what's going on right now. Like, the Jets' defense is just not built to handle whatever the Avalanche are bringing to them. But the playoffs change on a dime, so let's see how that goes. And the final series out west is the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars, which suddenly became a lot more competitive after an overtime winner by the Dallas Stars in Vegas. It doesn't seem like home ice advantage is helping either side right now, but we'll have to see if Dallas can tie things up in Game 4.
Honestly, I've really liked how Dallas has been playing the entire time, and that's not just because I don't like the Knights and I want to see them fail. I mean, it's hard to pick. I think this has actually been the most competitive series in spite of the Knights leading. It's just so weird. So yeah, good luck to all teams left in the playoffs, and tough break for Washington, but I think they all know what was coming here. And I am currently out of stuff to talk about, so I think we're just gonna call it here. We'll probably do more draft-related stuff once we get the draft position update. And yeah, it's just following the playoffs, see who wins the Stanley Cup, and then get the draft lottery, and then see where you can go from there. If you like this fairly short episode of Beneath the Frozen Sea, you can go on ahead and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can go on ahead and check us out over at DavyJonesLockerRoom.com, where we post only the finest analysis, news, and game threads of both the Kraken and now the Firebirds. And you can keep up with all DJLR content over at our social medias. You can find us on various Fediverse sites at Blue Sky Threads and Twitter.com at DavyJonesLR. You can also find us at Facebook at DavyJonesLockerRoom. That's all for me. My name is Sky. Thank you very much for listening. Keep calm and post Zoidberg when we win. And as always, go Kraken, but right now go Firebirds.